now all God's people say.
Amen.
It's been a sweet, sweet time this morning. Thank all of you. Just a minute, a fire, everybody. We've got a little bit of food now. All of you blessed us so much this morning. Thank you. You know, sometimes we take for granted the gift these people that God has sent our way to lead us in worship and music. Thank God for our wonderful instrumentals, our choirs, our soloists, and groups that say thank you for blessing us. But singing prepares our hearts for worship through the preaching.
Amen.
Now, it's not a matter of one's worship and one's not. It's all part of worship. But I've got good news and bad news for you. Are you ready?
Amen.
The better the singing, the longer the sermon. Okay, I hope you've all sandwiched with you this morning. I want to invite you to look with you this morning in the book of Acts, and God will give you a link by 1 Timothy. We'll be looking together in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy in a moment. Last Sunday, what a Sunday it was, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Easter Sunday, a packed house, an overflow crowd. We've got a wonderful crowd again today.
Amen.
But you know, the gospel story doesn't end at the resurrection. We talk about the gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and it is. That's the heart, the essence of the gospel. But I'm so grateful that God's Word went on to tell us about when Jesus went home. The ascension of Jesus. I can only remember in over 50 years of preaching, I can only remember one time about 30 years ago I heard a preacher, Dr. Jerry Banks, preach on the ascension of Jesus. It made such an impact on my heart that as a pastor for many, many years, as well as the church I might have been serving, on the Sunday after Easter is almost always my practice to preach on the passage that sometimes is a little bit overlooked. But this morning, I want to think together about the ascension of Jesus and just this thought. In the incarnation, Jesus came to us. In the crucifixion, Jesus died for us. In the resurrection, Jesus was declared to be Lord on our behalf. And in his ascension, he calls us to himself. And in his exaltation, he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The next few moments, I want you to think with me my message that about a fact, a truth of the gospel that will bless us beyond measure, bless me beyond measure, to think about some of the great truths that are contained in the passages we'll be reading this morning. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. It's now 40 days after the resurrection. It's now the time of the celebration of Pentecost is upon you. And then in verse 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, that's the passage any preacher ought to be to preach on all day long. God's plan for the church is we'll be salt in a corrupt world, the light of the dark world, and that we share the message of Jesus and be witnesses. And that word witness is the Greek word martus, from which we get our word martyr. Someone who gives themselves for the uplifting of the Lord Jesus. And when he had spoken these things while in hell, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, or we would say the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day's journey. Either about a half a mile or three quarters of a mile was a Sabbath day's journey. It was as far as the devout Jews travel on the Sabbath day and the city where they lived. And then in 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, Timothy said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." I must tell you that every time I study and prepare to preach on the ascension of Jesus, it thrills me beyond measure to think about the great truths that are symbolized in this single event in the life of our Lord, following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In the Scripture, there are a number of wonderful foreshadowing pictures of the ascension of Jesus. Somebody might say, "Well, is it really that significant?" Because we don't. I dare say there are some of you who may have never heard a sermon on the ascension, or maybe if you were here a year ago. I preached from this text 1 year ago on the Sunday after Easter. But there may be some who've never heard a message on the ascension. And I pray the Lord will use this wonderful story, this wonderful truth, to encourage your hearts. There are a lot of pictures of the ascension of our Lord Jesus in the Scripture. And when it's time to come home, Jesus placed his foot on the resurrection soil and went back to glory. And the ascension is one of eternity's glorious events that was pictured in the Old Testament. Now, sometimes we read stories, and they're good stories, no doubt, and they're true stories, and they're biblical stories, and they're all relevant. But every once in a while, you'll get one that will just bless your socks off. I mean, the Bible says that Elijah, the prophet, was walking along the way, and he was about to pass his mantle on to Elijah. And as they're walking along, the Bible says, and they talked along the way. When I get to heaven, I like to say, "Lord, would you let me have a little time with Elijah and Elisha?" And I'd like to find out, what did they talk about? Maybe they talked about Mount Carmel. Maybe they talk about that day that Elijah called out a fire from heaven and consumed the pagan prophets of Baal. But I want to tell you, the Bible says that while they walked along, and this will bless you, just imagine this. God, remember what God said to the prophets as they walked along? What did he say? A fiery chariot. A fiery chariot. And the Bible tells us that fiery chariot drawn by fiery horses swooped down and picked up the prophet Elijah and carried him away. And I can almost hear him saying, as he looks back to the Elijah, as he fades in the distance, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word." And it was a picture of the ascension, the homegoing of the lovely Lord Jesus. It was pictured in the prayer of Jesus in John's Gospel. We're talking about the ascension. In John 17, Jesus said to the disciples as he gathered with them in the upper room, "I glorify," this is part of Jesus' prayer, brother, "I glorify thee on the earth," this is his prayer of the Father, "and I have finished thy work, the work thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." The ascension was pictured in the Old Testament. The ascension was pictured in the prayer of Jesus. It is also pictured in the life of Jesus. Remember when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb that early Easter morning, and she didn't see Jesus in the grave, in the tomb, but she saw a man that she thought was the gardener. I've always wondered, choir, how it was that she didn't recognize him, but the incandescent, of irresplendent glory of God, probably shining like the face of Moses was when he came down from Mount Sinai, having been in the presence of the Lord. And she didn't expect him to be alive and didn't recognize the glorified Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to her, and in that moment when she recognized him, and I just want you to picture this, she threw herself at his feet and clung to him. And the exaltation that must have been present during that moment of recognition As Mary Magdalene said, he's alive. Lord, you're alive. You're here. And she just grasped him. And Jesus said, Mary, and he wasn't rebuking her. He simply kind of saying to her, don't hold on too tightly because I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm going to go to my Father and your Father. And there's still much to do. I can't stay. Don't cling to me. I'm not yet ascending to my Father. I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Or you go to brethren and tell them, and my God and your God. And when they watched the disciples speak, when Jesus did that in that upper room, and it was a wonderful time of worship for them, it was in that time Jesus laid aside his garments and began to wash their feet. And the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto him, and that he was come from God, and listen, and went to God, arise from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What we're talking about are pictures of a wonderful thing we call, occasionally called, the ascension, the homegoing of our Lord. Pictured throughout the Word. Why is that significant? Well, there are a few places in the Bible that are more filled with pageantry and praise and celebration and exaltation more than the ascension, the homegoing of Jesus. This moment, it was wrapped in celestial glory. No doubt, think of that, no doubt. Can you use your sanctified imagination for a moment? Is it okay to just imagine a little bit? Can you imagine the angel saying, y'all come over here, let's peer over the edge of this big old cloud, and let's see the event that is going to bring Jesus home. Jesus is coming home. You see, there had never been a time for the last 33 plus years that the angels had not lived in the presence of the loving Lord Jesus. Had not walked down the streets of gold with Jesus hand in hand and arm in arm with them. And he had been gone all this time, and now the finished work of the cross was over, and he said it is done, and he had been buried, and he had been raised from the dead, and now he was coming home. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'll tear up when I see it, especially during the different wars that we were in, Vietnam, Afghanistan, little places. When a soldier would return home and come to the airport and his family would greet him in the airport, that's a slaughter rocket, folks. I want to tell you that. And that's the scene here of the angels who are saying, I'm just imagining they're saying, look, he's on his way. Don't miss this. The passion here, the glory of the ascension. The angels had seen the Red Sea part. They had seen Mount Carmel's firefall. They had seen the manna from heaven. And they had seen the fire of chariot, but they had never seen anything quite like the resurrected Christ defying gravity and ascending toward heaven, because his work was finished as far as his redemptive work in this world. The culmination of his earthly ministry, there was the pageantry of heaven's, I call it heaven's victory lap. I believe the angels were having a spell. Now, some people every once in a while will say, Brother Jackie, you need to be careful. You know, if you don't want to raise your hand, that's all right. Don't raise your hand. But sometimes I'm just going to have a spell. I'll have one anyway. And just praise the Lord. But the angels, can you just imagine what they must have experienced? And I read this somewhere a long time ago, that the ascension was much like heaven's victory lap. Now, it's racing season. I mean, the Indianapolis 500 and all these others. Now, I know you ladies don't care about that, but the guys do. I think about when I was a boy, there was a place not far from Lacey Spring, Alabama. If you don't know where that is, look it up. It's a significant city. There's one red light. It wasn't there when I was growing up. There was a place on Hobbs Island where on Friday nights, we'd go every Friday night to the dirt track and watch them race what we would call the NASCARs. Now, I'm telling you what, I just thought I was somewhere. But I remember, some of you, these names won't mean anything, day to learn heart.
Yeah.
Saw Dale Earnhardt race. Saw Richard Petty all the way. What a driver. And I kept thinking, why did my parents complain because I got that ticket? Well, I didn't worry about it. Bobby Allison.
Yeah.
And see those folks race. And you know one of the things that about those races that I remember is at the end of the race, they give the winner an American flag. And they do a victory lap and drive around the racetrack, and everybody would celebrate and hallelujah because he had won. I ought to tell you, folks, danger for having a holy spell. Y'all come watch this. He's on his way. It's heaven's victory lap. Jesus is celebrating. We're celebrating with him the ascension of our Lord and the finished work of Calvary. They were celebrating his exit from this old world. And they were also celebrating his entrance into the world to come. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, Jesus Christ is gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. When he is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, that's a whole different sermon. But let me just give you a picture. In the Old Testament, there's not a great deal said about the afterlife, except that the souls of the redeemed were at a place that the Hebrew would call Sheol, the realm of the dead. We don't know much about it, but it was a lot like who was really say heaven was, but it wasn't the heaven like we know now. But the Bible says that when Jesus ascended, now listen, he led captivity captive. Do you know? I'm starting to get inside myself now. Do you know where Jesus went when he died on the cross? Said, fall into thy hands, I command my spirit. Now, I'm not claiming I know, but the Bible does say Jesus went and he preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, a lot of things this old country boy from Alabama doesn't know. I don't understand all that I know, but I do know Jesus went down yonder to where the saints of God were, where Elijah was, where Abraham was, where Moses was, where the believers in the Old Testament were. And he said something like this. Come on, folks, we're going home together.
Amen.
Finished redemption's work. You see, Moses looked forward to that, and Abraham looked forward to God's coming and his son. And now the cross is finished, and now the tomb is empty. And Jesus is emptying out the realm of the dead. He came all redeemed from the Old Testament back to glory. Can you imagine what a parade that was when they got to glory? And the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints were saying, and where have you been so long? We've been waiting for you up here all this time. And so they were celebrating the ascension of our Lord, the exit from this old world, the entrance into the world to come. I do remember years ago hearing a preacher give an illustration of a Roman general named Aurelius. That Roman general was on his way home from a conquering season on the battlefield, and leading in his triumphant train were 20 elephants, 4 tigers, 200 other animals, senators and soldiers. And the general was riding in a golden chariot with a slave holding a crown over his head, over the general's head. Chained to the chariot were the defeated and vanquished kings, and the people shouted as the parade entered the city of Jerusalem. Triumph, triumph. Here comes the precious Old Testament saints who delivered from the realm of the dead to glory. There is the celebration of his entrance into heaven. The purpose of the ascension, we'll only mention this morning because we could spend a great deal of time there, but I want you to be aware. He ascended as our Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Death could not keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus pulled the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave. Bobby, somebody almost had to catch Bobby. He almost went out of the grave.
I
Our Savior. In the Old Testament, in the land of Canaan, there were cities of refuge. And those cities of refuge are where people who committed a grave sin could go to be saved from the retribution of, let's say, for example, somebody killed someone else's family member. That family member wanted to take revenge upon the person who committed the killing. Maybe it was an accidental killing. The city of refuge is provided as a place of safety where you could go and provide for those who needed a shelter from the condemnation or from danger. Jesus is our refuge, and He's our city of refuge. He's our high priest. He didn't have to go into the Holy of Holies every year at the time of the offering and sacrifice. He one time offered Himself on Calvary's cross for us. And now he's set down the right hand of the Father. He ascended as our Savior. He ascended as our high priest. He ascended as our forerunner. One who goes in place of another and ahead of another. I like this. He ascended as our anchor in Hebrews 6. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. We all need an anchor. Sometimes we feel like we just can't handle what life brings to us and falls in us. But thank God Jesus is the anchor. And guess what, folks? The anchor holds.
Amen.
We have an anchor. His name is Jesus. The anchor holds. You can anchor your life to Him, and He'll get you through.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is our ascended Lord, our sovereign Lord. And wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him the name of the Lord every name. That leads me to the fourth thing, the final truth this morning I want us to look at together for just a moment. Concerning the ascension of our Lord, the victory of His ascension. Victory of His exit from this world and His entrance into the world to come. There is a human phrase. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost is about to take place. And the Bible says, and the people praise God because of the celebration of the resurrection. This is the 40th day since the resurrection. It's the praise of the wonder and the realization that salvation was theirs. And the praise of anticipation. One of these days, He's coming back to be with us.
Amen.
To take us home with Him. I want you to look with me through a passage this morning. And it's in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 24, the book I closed this morning. This psalm was written on the occasion of the returning of the Ark to Jerusalem. You see, there was nothing more significant to the Jewish people than having the Ark in their presence. And when the enemy stole it, nothing was of higher priority than returning the Ark back home. The Ark was returning to Jerusalem. I want you to picture two choirs singing. One choir is on the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and they're singing. And one choir is leading the processional from the wilderness and from the land far away, back where the Ark was, back into the city of Jerusalem, where it belongs. Picture two choirs singing, one in response to the other. This is a picture of, it's a story about one with pure hands and pure heart, excuse me, as well as a pure heart. What a sight, what a homecoming. Picture Jesus making His way home. And by the way, the Ark is a picture of the love of the Lord Jesus. And the Jewish people were rejoicing that it was returning home, and they were celebrating. And on His way, He's on His way to the throne, lining the streets of the Old Testament saints in glory. Lining the streets of it is the repentant thief on the cross, and the angels, and men, and uncountable millions of others. But listen to this. I want you to picture these choirs. One choir is singing as the other choir is approaching the city gates of the Ark of the Covenant. Lift up your heads, and if I was a Jewish cry, I'd say it a little bit differently. Mark, you might know a little bit better about how they would say it, but they would say it like a chant. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And your other choir will respond with another refrain saying, "And the King of Glory shall come in." The choir approaches the city of the Ark of the Covenant. "Who is this King of Glory?" says the choir inside the gates of the city. And the choir responds, bringing upon the ark, "The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle." And then they say, saying, "Lift up your heads, on your gates. Even lift them up, the everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." The choir inside the gates sings, "Who is this King of Glory?" The Lord of hosts is the response. He is the King of Glory. And folks, the picture in the Old Testament and the New of the ascension of our Lord and the celebration of His exit from this world and His entrance into the world to come is a beautiful picture of what's going to happen one great day. And with this, I'm done. One day Jesus is coming again. It doesn't matter what the skeptics may say. It doesn't matter what the unbelievers may say. We don't know the time. We don't know when, but we know that He's coming. And folks, the Bible's message is, be you ready. Be you ready. Whatever you do, be sure that you place your faith in the lovely Lord Jesus, the one who died, was buried, and rose again, ascended back to the Father, and one great day He's going to call Gabriel over and say, "Gabriel, get your horn. It's time. It's time for the children to come home. Will you be ready when that time comes?" Let's bow our heads.